All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody listening. This is American Vindicta, and I am your host, Doug Thornton. I have a few articles to go over with you today. And this week begins our next saga of historical information and the journey therein. And we are going to talk about everything UFO, unidentified flying object. But before we get into that, I still want to give you some information on what's happening currently around the world. That way, you know, we're always kept up in what's happening in the news. And even though I want to deep dive into this new topic, the UFOs, the aliens, and eventually the cryptids, we need to make sure that we're cognizant of our surroundings and what is happening around the world. So if there is any information that comes up during any of these next series of broadcasts, we will be updating you. That way you are still aware. Though many of you are just as aware or more aware and updated than I am in the news, I'll tell you to make sure to let your family know what's going on around the world. That way they don't ever get caught blindsided. And, you know, you have the ones that don't want to listen. You have the co-workers who say, do you really believe in what you're talking about? And to that, I'll tell you this. Not everybody views the world through Christian eyes. And even though many of us Christians tend to get off path every now and then, it's good for us to keep each other in check, iron sharpening iron. But we need to make sure that whenever we talk to worldly people, people who don't have the same biblical aspect of life as we do, that you don't get overly frustrated to the point that you're trying to beat down their door to show them the proof of what you're saying. I look at the world as this. I have given you knowledge. You take it, you receive it, or you don't. I wipe my feet and I keep going on to the next village. I've had people, and Steve Quayle and others have had the same, where, you know, they'll say, well, what about X, Y, and Z? What should I do about this? Well, what do you think about this scenario? Well, if I have told you ways to prepare, if I have told you ways to better enhance your quality of living, to better enhance your educational walk, which it should never stop, you should always be learning, and you've done nothing with what I've told you, and you've done nothing with what some of the other experts on this field have told you, then why do I need to tell you more? I've gotten some emails from some people requesting all different types of information or giving very good stories to some of you over the weekend who were emailing me some good stories. I do enjoy the dialogue back and forth, so thank you to those of you who are listening. But not everybody's going to get it. Some people are just going to be lost in the sauce. And, you know, that's why I do my best to break everything down Barney style, to not, you know, require you to have a thesaurus present whenever I give any of these podcasts. I try to speak to you on the most basic of layman terms as possible. So, with that being said, if you do have questions, if you do have concerns, if you do want clarification, you can email me through the AmericanVindictaShow.com, and I'll do my best to give you responses. I may not always be immediate, but I will do my best. I would tell you to continue to prep, continue to buy the materials and needs that you have. Just because it's calm right now doesn't mean that that storm is not coming. And from what I'm going to read to you, I believe the storm is still brewing. Oh, it's still brewing. But, you know, stay caught up on the news. You know, I'm here today. I could be gone tomorrow. So, you know, once again, this is more of a lecture to you as the listener. I have what I need. I have the knowledge that I need. I have the preparations that I need. I'm giving you, the listener, what it is that I have done through the way that I view the world, and hoping that maybe my view of the world and how to prep and all this other stuff can help change your aspect or help to shine light on certain parts of your prepping and your walk in faith, your walk in Christ, your walk through this world, and maybe shine light on things that you're missing. So that's the goal of this, right? But occasionally, talking about Russia and Ukraine and Hunter Biden's laptop 24/7 gets extraordinarily boring. So that's why we're going to be talking about a fun topic with UFOs. But once again, before we can go into that route, let's revisit the news. So this is from an article from InfoWars. And some of you may be wondering, InfoWars, they're fake news. No, fake news is the ones that show up every morning at the White House. So this article is wrote by Jamie White. And it's a watch Putin's full censored speech to the West, warning of corrupt globalist elites pushing for world war. Now what it is the transcript, the broke down transcript of Putin's speech that he just most recently gave regarding what is happening in Ukraine and why he's in Ukraine. All right, so let's just get straight into it. Russian President Vladimir Putin addressed the world in a lengthy speech last Wednesday outlining steps the Russian Federation will take in response to harsh economic sanctions levied by the West. Though the corporate media reported on snippets of Putin's speech, they also distorted the substance of his remarks and failed to provide the full context, which is presented here. Putin appealed to the people of the West to realize their globalist governments are pushing the world towards war, using Ukraine as a proxy and the U.S. dollar as a cudgel to punish its enemies. Real quick. If you go back in history and you re-listen to the first of the Record Chronicles that I have on this podcast, and I'll have it labeled today, by the way. And everything that people have been asking me, a lot of stuff's not labeled, like 1 through 62. It's all fixed to be updated by the end of today. Most of it's already there on the website. So if you want to see all the other stuff, go to the website, front page, all the way down. It'll give you the list of all the shows. But I did mention this back in mid-January when I first got the inkling by God to write the Record Chronicles. And I very much talked about how the Russians would be trying to go through social media and other means to tell the people of the West, to tell the Americans what's happening, and to eventually stop the government from starting a world war. Let's see how this plays out. All right. Putin also explained how the clandestine biolabs in Ukraine, the West's dismissal of Russia's concerns about NATO expansion, and war crimes against the people of the Donbass region compelled Russia to act militarily. Here's the transcript of Putin's full speech. Now, I'm going to read this to you, mainly because many of you don't have the time to go and look all this up, but I think it gives a lot of weight. I think it gives a lot of credence to the things that we have been harping on this podcast. That I feel that the U.S. and its allies of the West are trying to walk us into a war with Ukraine via, or war with Russia via Ukraine. Even Vladimir Putin, like him, hate him, good guy, bad guy, I really don't care what it is that we label him, because he's the eventuality of America if we get into World War III. He owns more nukes than we do, and they can launch nukes before we can, based off of what experts have told me. So let's give a little respect and pay a little bit of attention to what the man says. I mean, I love it when people say, oh, Putin's so bad, he's so bad. And Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, we're just going to give all these people a pass and ignore their past sins? No, thank you. All right, here we go. Here's the full speech. We are meeting at a difficult time when our armed forces are conducting a special military operation in Ukraine and Donbass. Let me remind you that it's at its very beginning, in the early morning of February 24th, I publicly and openly stated the reasons and the main goal of Russia's actions. It is to help our people in the Donbass, who for almost 8 years have been subjected to the most barbaric methods, blockade, large-scale punitive actions, terrorist attacks, and constant artillery shelling, a real genocide. And for what? Only because they sought elementary human rights. To live by the laws and traditions of their ancestors, to speak their native language, to raise their children the way they wanted. At the same time, the authorities in Kiev have not only ignored and sabotaged the implementation of the Minsk package of measures to peacefully resolve the crisis over all these years, but at the end of last year, they refused to implement it in public. They have also begun the practical implementation of plans to join NATO. Moreover, Kiev authorities also announced their intention to build their own nuclear weapons and the means of their delivery. This was a real threat. Already in the foreseeable future, with foreign technical assistance, the pro-Nazi regime of Kiev could get its hands on a weapon of mass destruction, and its targets would, of course, be Russia. There was also a network of dozens of laboratories in Ukraine where military biological programs, including experiments with samples of coronavirus, anthrax, cholera, African swine flu, and other deadly diseases, were conducted under the direction of financial support of the Pentagon. Traces of these secret programs are now being strenuously covered up. But we have every reason to believe that components of biological weapons were in fact created in the immediate vicinity of Russia on Ukrainian territory. Our repeated warnings that this development posed a direct threat to Russia's security were rejected by Ukraine and its U.S. and NATO patrons with ostentatious and cynical disregard. Thus, all diplomatic options have been completely exhausted. We were simply left with no options to resolve peacefully with the problems that arose through no fault of our own. And so we were simply forced to launch a special military operation. The appearance of Russian troops near Kiev and other cities in Ukraine is not connected with the intention to occupy this country. We do not have such a goal, and I also explicitly stated this in my address on February 24th. As for the combat tactics that have been developed by the Russian Ministry of Defense and our general staff, they have fully justified themselves. And our guys, soldiers and officers, are showing courage and heroism, doing everything in their power to avoid casualties among the civilian population of Ukrainian cities. I want to say that this, for the first time, at the very beginning of the operation in Donbas, the Kiev authorities were asked through various channels, in order to avoid senseless bloodshed, not to engage in combat operations, but simply to withdraw their troops from Donbas. They did not want to. Well, that is their decision. The realization of what is happening in the real situation on the ground will come inevitably. The operation is progressing successfully in strict accordance with pre-approved plans. I would like to note that Ukraine, encouraged by the United States and a number of Western countries, was purposely preparing for a violent scenario, a bloodbath, and ethnic cleansing in Donbas. A massive offensive on the Donbas and then on Crimea was only a matter of time, and our armed forces thwarted these plans. Kiev was not only preparing for war, for aggression against Russia, against Donbas, they were waging it. Attempts to organize, sabotage, and a terrorist underground in Crimea did not stop. In recent years, fighting continued in Donbas, shelling of peaceful settlements. During this time, almost 14,000 civilians have been killed, including children. On March 14th, as you know, there was a rocket attack on the center of Donetsk. It was an outright bloody attack that killed more than 20 people. And this kind of shelling has been going on for the last few days. They hit indiscriminately in squares with the fanaticism and frenzy of the doomed, like the Nazis, who in the last days of the Third Reich tried to take as many innocent victims with them to the grave as possible. But what is striking in its extreme cynicism is not only Kiev's unapologetic lies and claims that it was Russia, they thought of that too, that allegedly launched a missile at Donetsk, but also that the so-called civilized Western world, the European and American press, did not even notice the Donetsk tragedy as if it ever happened. In the same hypocritical way, they turned a blind eye during the last 8 days when mothers in Donbas buried their children. When people were killed, old people were killed. This is just some kind of moral degradation, a complete dehumanization. The many years of mockery of the people of Donbas could no longer be tolerated, and to put an end to the genocide, Russia recognized the People's Republic of Donbas and concluded treaties of friendship and mutual assistance with them. On the basis of these agreements, the republics turned out to our country for military assistance and repelling the aggression. And we provided this assistance. We simply could not and had no right to do otherwise. But what I want to emphasize and ask you to pay attention to, if our troops had acted only on the territory of the People's Republic, helped them liberate their land, this would not have been the final solution, would have not led to peace, and would not have eliminated the threat fundamentally to our country, already to Russia. On the contrary, there would have been a new front line around Donbas and along its borders, and shelling and provocations would have continued. In other words, the armed conflict would have dragged on endlessly, fueled by the revenged hysteria of the Kiev regime, and NATO's military infrastructure in Ukraine would deploy even faster and more aggressively. We would have been faced with the fact that the alliance's offensive weapons are already at our borders. I repeat, we would have had no other option for self-defense for Russia's security except a special military operation. and all the tasks we have set ourselves will certainly be accomplished. We will reliably ensure the security of Russia and our people. We will never allow Ukraine to serve as a springboard for aggressive actions against our country. These are issues that are fundamental for Russia and our future. The neutral status of Ukraine, demilitarization, and denationalization, we were ready and willing to discuss during the negotiations. Our country has done everything to organize and conduct these negotiations, understanding that every opportunity must be used to save people and their lives. But again and again, we are convinced that the Kiev regime, which has been tasked by its Western masters to create an aggressive anti-Russia, is indifferent to the fate of the people of Ukraine. The fact that people are dying, the fact that hundreds of thousands, millions have become refugees, the fact that there is a real humanitarian disaster in the cities held by neo-Nazis and their armed criminals released from prisons, everything is indifferent. It is also obvious to us that Western patrons are simply pushing Kiev authorities to continue the bloodshed. They are being supplied with more and more weapons, intelligence, and other assistance, including military advisors and mercenaries. They have also chosen as a weapon, economic, financial, trade, and other sanctions against Russia, which are now hitting the Europeans and Americans themselves, by the way, through rising prices of gasoline, energy, food, through the loss of jobs associated with the Russian market. And you must not, as they say, put the blame on our country. I want the ordinary citizens of Western countries to hear me as well. They are now trying to persuade you that all your difficulties are the result of some hostile actions of Russia, that your own purse should be used to pay for the fight against the mythical Russian threat. All of this is a lie. The truth is that the current problems faced by millions of people in the West are the result of years of action, error, short-sightedness, and ambition on the part of the ruling elites of their states. These elites are not thinking about how to improve the lives of their citizens in Western countries. They are obsessed with their own self-interest and super profits. This is evidenced by data from international organizations which clearly show that social problems, even in the leading Western countries, have only worsened in recent years, that inequality, the gap between rich and poor, and racial and national conflicts are on the rise. The myth of a Western welfare society, of the so-called golden billion, is crumbling. I repeat, today the entire planet has to pay the price for the West's ambitions for its attempts to maintain its elusive dominance by any means. The imposition of sanctions is a logical continuation, a concentrated expression of the irresponsible, short-sighted policy of the governments and central banks of the United States and the EU countries. It is they who in recent years have with their own hands unleashed a spiral of global inflation. Their actions have led to an increase in global poverty and inequality, to new flows of refugees around the world. And the question arises, who will now be responsible for the millions of starving deaths in the world's poorest countries due to growing food shortages? Again, this is a serious blow to the entire global economy and trade, to the credibility of the U.S. dollar as the main reserve currency. Thus, illegitimate actions to freeze part of the currency reserves of the Bank of Russia draw a line under the reliability of the so-called first-class assets. In fact, both the U.S. and the EU have declared a real default on their obligations to Russia. Now everyone knows that financial reserves can be simply stolen. And seeing this, Many countries may begin in the near future, I'm sure this will happen, to convert their paper and digital savings into real reserves in the form of commodities, land, food, gold, other real assets, which will increase the deficit in these markets. I would add that the seizure of foreign assets and accounts of Russian companies and individuals is also a lesson for national business, that there is nothing more reliable than investing in one's own country. I told this myself more than once. We appreciate the position of those foreign companies that, despite the unscrupulous pressure from the United States and their vassals, continue to work in our country. In the future, they will surely get additional opportunities for development. We also know those who cowardly betrayed their partners, forgot about the responsibility to their employees and clients in Russia, and rushed to earn illusionary dividends on their participation in the anti-Russian campaign. At the same time, unlike Western countries, we will respect property rights. What do I want to emphasize? We need to clearly understand that a new package of sanctions and restrictions against us would have followed in any scenario. I want to stress this. Our military operation in Ukraine is just a pretext for the West to impose new sanctions. Yes, of course, they are concentrated now, but the referendum in Crimea, which took place incidentally on March 16, 2014, exactly 8 years ago, in the course of which the residents of Crimea and Sevastopol made their free choice to join their historic homeland, was the same reason for them, for Westerners. Let me repeat. We are only talking about occasions. But the policy of containing and weakening Russia, including through economic isolation and blockade, is a conscious, long-term strategy. Western leaders themselves are no longer hiding the fact that sanctions are not aimed at individuals or companies. Their goal is to hit our entire domestic economy, our social and humanitarian sphere, every family, every citizen of Russia. In fact, such steps at worsening the lives of millions of people have all the hallmarks of aggression, a war by economic, political, and informational means. Is it total and unconcealed, and, I repeat, the so-called Western political elite are not even shy about speaking about it in plain words. All the verbal tinsel about political correctness, inviolability of private property, freedom of speech, all of this disappeared overnight. Even the Olympic principles were trampled. They were not shy about settling scores with the Paralympians either. That's how sports outside politics is. In many Western countries, people just for the fact that they came from Russia are being persecuted today. They refuse medical care, expel children from schools, put their parents out of work, ban Russian music, culture, and literature. In attempting to abolish Russia, the West stripped itself of all masks of decency, began to act in a boorish manner, and demonstrated its true nature. Direct analogies are just begging to be drawn with the anti-Semitic pogroms carried out by the Nazis in Germany in the 1930s, and later by their henchmen from many European countries who joined Hitler's aggression against our country during the Great Patriotic War. Against Russia, deployed a massive attack in cyberspace. The unprecedented information campaign in which the global social networks and all Western mass media, which objective and independence have appeared simply a myth, is unleashed. Access to information is restricted. People are flooded with huge number of fake propaganda fakes, in other words, fakes. It has gone so far that one of the American social networks has directly stated that publications calling for the murder of Russian citizens are possible. We understand what resources this empire of lies has, but it is still powerless against truth and justice. Russia will consistently make its position known to the world. Our position is honest and open, and more people hear it, understand it, and share it. I want to say very frankly, there are hostile geopolitical goals behind the hypocritical talks and current actions of the so-called collective West. They do not need, simply do not need, a strong and sovereign Russia. They will not forgive us for our independent course or for defending our national interests. We remember now they supported separatism, terrorism, encouraging terrorists and bandits in the North Caucasus, as they did in the 1990s and in the early 2000s. They want to repeat their attempt to finish us off, to crush us off, to drive us beyond Mosai, as they say, to turn us into a national enemy. All right. That's halfway through the speech that Putin gave. Now, I want you to compare this speech that Putin gave. I want you to read it for yourself, by the way. Watch the transcript of him reading it. Watch the man's facial expressions. But I want you to understand that what Putin wrote down to write to these other world leaders is already 5 to 8 times longer than anything Joe Biden has talked about yet. Joe Biden and those who align themselves with this family, this crime family. And I've said this for years, and some people agree, some people don't, that Russia has been made out to be the boogeyman, that whenever anything bad in the world happens, we can at least always blame the Ruskies. Every video game and every movie villain has to do with the evil Russians. You got to understand that the efforts of Hollywood to brainwash everyone into always believing that the Russians are bad has worked so far. But many people are waking up to it because they see that, well, you know, Russia may be bad according to the video games, the politicians, and the movies, but damn it, our politicians seem to be worse. We have right now the talks of child porn investigations happening against Hunter Biden from that laptop. And that may actually implicate Joe Biden in it. We have to ask these questions. What does Putin know? What does Putin have his hands on that he could use as blackmail? Is that part of the reason for the war in Ukraine? If Joe Biden is taken out of office because of the child porn cases linked to his son, because of Burisma in China, who becomes president? And whoever becomes president, because it sure as hell won't be Kamala. Not for long. And I may be wrong about that. I just don't see Kamala Harris being put in charge of anything beyond maybe making a grilled cheese sandwich. But if Biden's taken out of power and someone else becomes the new president, does Russia still maintain that vibe that they are the enemy of the world? Is this now a time for Hillary? Is that what we're being set up for? If you really read into this whole narrative that Vladimir Putin puts out, it's actually quite patriotic. It's quite eye-opening. It sounds a lot like what other people from the right have talked about for quite a long time. A lot of us crazy conspiracy theorists But you know, if you understand geopolitical wars, if you understand the way the CIA, the DIA, the NSA, the way the White House, the Pentagon, just our own people and the way we have waged war through false flags, false narratives, then you can see why Russia themselves, as they're saying right now, are bracing for a potential false flag assassination attempts. Just look at what Lindsey Graham's been talking about. Three times that flounder has now come out and said he wants to assassinate, or he wants someone to assassinate, Vladimir Putin. And I think that is dangerous. I denounce that. I don't believe in that. I don't think most Americans believe in that. Because what good would that come from? And Lindsey, if you're so apt to do this and you want your 5 minutes of fame because you're a loser, then by all means, Lindsey Graham, go be a mercenary somewhere. Go try it yourself. I'll laugh and see how far you won't get. Lindsey Graham can barely make it up a flight of stairs, let alone his talking bad about Vladimir Putin. I will personally host a celebrity death match between Vladimir Putin and Lindsey Graham, if that's really what Lindsey wants. And my money's on Putin. I laugh at the things that these politicians do, because at the end of the day, their criminal nature only affects us. Everything that's happening right now is only going to affect us. It's only going to hurt us. And they expect we, the people, as usual, to be the ones to carry their water for them. And I'm just not going to anymore. I don't think most Americans are going to anymore. You know, I may or may not agree with everything that Vladimir Putin says, but I can understand taking my ego and my pride out of the situation as a human being. I can understand the need and the want to defend my territory, to defend my way of life and my people. And when you look at all the satanic stuff that's happened throughout the West, now I don't know how many times Vladimir Putin visited the Georgia Guidestones, or he was part of the Bilderberger meeting, or how many times he went to the groves in California and did all the ritual occult stuff to Moloch. I don't know how many times he went there, but if he's not going there anymore, if he's barred from going there, well, then he just made himself out to be a real enemy from the rest of the world, especially the West. And is that what we're really seeing right now? Does it make sense? I mean, we have so much oil in this country. We can produce oil for the entire world. Russia can do the same. So why are we competing? You know, if it's healthy competition and it helps to grow and it helps to advance technology, and that then advances and lessens the, I guess you could say, poverty level of the world, because then we can bring everybody up to a certain standard of living. I'm all for that. I'm fine with that. I'm not for universal basic income, but you know, if we can raise people out of poverty, that's a good thing. But in order to, you know, tear down an entire another country through sanctions and all this other crap, and at the same time hurt our country, Joe, I don't support that. Open up the pipelines. Open up the pipelines. Let Ukraine and Russia deal with their own madness. Secure our borders. I would still say to you that Baltimore, Washington, D.C., New York, L.A., the border, you know, Portland, Seattle, I can go on and on. Detroit with cities, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, I can keep going. with cities that are more dangerous to Americans than the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And it only becomes dangerous to Americans when you screw around and you find out just if Vladimir Putin is willing to launch missiles in our direction. We need to take care of America. We need to invest a little bit in isolationism for a while. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help out other nations that are out there, but Pakistan doesn't need $40 million a year from us. Mexico doesn't need $30 billion a year from us. Neither does El Salvador or Colombia or any of these other countries. What are they doing with it? Wait, if I was an investor and I'm giving money to Pakistan and to Iraq and then to Syria and to Saudi Arabia, who doesn't need our money, or to any of these other countries, Mexico, I would say as an investor, here's a shitload of money. Do the right thing. Raise yourself out of poverty. Do your best to get rid of the cartels and let's start trade agreements so that we can all make a little bit of money, right? But I would expect a return on my investment. What return has America got on any of the investments in any other country so far? Crickets. Crickets. We haven't. You know who gets a return on their investment? You know who makes a lot of money from this? Congress. Congress and the Senate make a lot of money off of the bloodshed from around the world. They are your benefactors for the military-industrial complex. And we know they're at work right now. We see the war that's coming. So listen to this from the Epoch Times. Russia is feeding troops into a wood chipper, says the Pentagon chief. The Russian campaign in Ukraine has stalled, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin proclaimed, while suggesting that Moscow's forces are continuing to take heavy losses. Their maneuver forces on the ground are essentially stalled, says Austin. And this was on Face the Nation on CBS, a real fake news station. He said that this has had the effect of Russia moving their forces into a wood chipper. You know, the Ukrainians have continued to attrit his forces, and they've been very effective using the equipment that we provide them, you know, and armor weapons and aircraft weapons. Other Western officials said that the conflict, which started February 24th, has morphed into a war of attrition as Russia starts to increasingly rely on bombarding cities. On Monday, Ukrainian government officials rejected a demand from Russia that troops in the besieged city of Mariupol lay down their arms along with other guarantees. In a Monday morning update, the UK Minister of Defense said Russian forces to the northeast are still stalled about 15 miles outside of Kiev, the capital, and that forces advancing from the northwest have been blunted by Ukraine's military. Still, Moscow is aiming to take over Kiev in the near future. Despite the continued lack of progress, Kiev remains Russia's primary military objective, and they are likely to prioritize attempting to encircle the city over the coming weeks, says the Ministry of Defense. Overnight on Monday, Ukrainian authorities accused Russia of shelling a shopping mall in Kiev, allegedly leaving at least 8 people dead. But Russia's Ministry of Defense said it released a video that purported to show Ukrainian rocket artillery soldiers using the malls as cover to fire at Russian assets, triggering the counterattack. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Gaza Strip. This reminds me of the Palestinian forces and the Israeli IDF. That's what this reminds me of right now. There'll be one side of the world that believes this group. You'll have the other side of the world that will believe the other group. And for a meantime, we'll flip-flop back and forth on who is it that we condemn for the week. But there'll never come an actual sense of neutrality here where we can all agree to live and let live. Now, I want you to listen to this. Also in the interview, General Austin said that he does not believe Russia will deploy nuclear weapons, but noted that previous comments from the Kremlin about establishing a heightened nuclear deterrence posture are troubling. He suggested, without elaborating, that if chemical or biological weapons are deployed, more punitive measures could be enforced against Russia. He said, I think if a chemical or biological weapon was used, you would see a significant reaction from not only the United States, but also the global community. I think that we have seen from the Russians in the past is that they're raising issues and creating a pretext so that if they did something in the battle space, they could blame it on somebody else, either Ukrainians or NATO. And we have other members of NATO, like the Baltic states, who are worried that if there's any compromise in Ukraine, that Russia will move further into their territories, seizing their territories, using excuses as the Warsaw Act and other, you know, previous agreements that are out there, and that they will try to retain or regain territory lost by the Soviet Union. So there's plenty of scare out there. We've had a confirmation of two of the hypersonic missiles that Russia has been touting about for a couple years have now been successfully operated in Ukraine, striking Ukrainian armaments and warehouses. So the war is beefing up and the conflict escalates. And because of that, we should keep our eyes on the news, and we should be very mindful of any warning from all nations, to include the Russian Federation, of the escalations of war. It doesn't benefit anybody. And I'll include to you something that, while I was at the Hear the Watchman conference with Dave Hodges, that myself, Dave Hodges, and Jamie Walden did an hour-long interview, and we talked about what's currently happening in Ukraine, and we talked about how there are expats in Ukraine, which would be Americans in Ukraine, mercenaries of America in Ukraine, or the three-letter agencies that are assisting Ukraine with any type of, you name it, military operation. Because at the end of the day, that's what, you know, that's what the complaint will be. Just imagine what will happen if Russian Federation forces captures a couple of guys that are there as volunteers, or if they capture a couple of guys that are there as military advisors for Ukraine. Imagine what that interrogation could look like. Imagine if that interrogation was videotaped, which it most certainly will be, and then was released to the world. What could be said in it? Imagine if our forces that are going over there right now, that are not our military forces, by the way, but Americans who are joining the Ukrainians, if they join the Azov battalion, the neo-Nazi battalion, and get caught fighting and or killing and then having to surrender in the middle of a fight or the end of the fight to Russian Federation forces, imagine what the aspects of that would be. Just imagine the optics of all this. Here we have Americans fighting with neo-Nazis against the Russians. That could be spent seven ways to Sunday to make us look bad. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Do not go to Ukraine. Do not go to Ukraine at all. Worry about your problems here at home, because we have enough of them. Russia has enough problems of its own. Ukraine has enough problems of its own. And onesies and twosies of the Americans will not benefit very much from going over there. And not only that, if you do go over there, what's to say you don't get any type of domestic terrorism charges laid against you whenever you come back? Or do those no longer matter because you're going to fight against Russia? Questions that need to be answered. We didn't do anything for sponsorship, so I got to say something real quick. SQMetals.com, if you need gold, platinum, palladium, silver, if you want to get out of the dying American dollar, SQMetals.com, SteveQuailMetals.com. Ready-made resources from Bob Griswold. If you need night vision, if you need ballistic helmets, body armor, the components of that, if you need a better lesson in survival, visit Bob Griswold at readymaderesources.com. If you need the preparation for food, mountain-state-survival.com has the ready buckets that are there for you that you can go. You can pick out the type of bucket that you need to put all the stuff in your shopping cart, into it, sealed up, sent to you. Hey, man, that's a great way to just keep it on layaway there at your house. If you ever need to pick it up and run with it, it's there for you. All right. So I'm going to save the best for last, I guess you could say. Make sure you continue to prep. Make sure you continue to pray. Be getting yourself right with God right now. I don't see any of this de-escalating. I haven't seen any measures of de-escalation yet. It seems like what's happening in Ukraine, it's like it's being just orchestrated to continue to go that way. I think we've had the momentous amount of times to have Ukraine and Russia sit down and work out their grievances, but that's not happening. The West absolutely will not allow Russia to be in Ukraine, and Russia will absolutely not allow the West to be in Ukraine. So what are we to do as the good American citizens, our future post-patriotic apocalypse Americans? There's nothing you can do about it. I was asked over the weekend by some people at the conference, Hunter Biden's laptop, corrupt politicians, the satanic ritual elites, or the satanic ritual cults, and their, you know, compromised elites that are in it, and the billion-dollar industries that are defrauding America, the wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, the fake news. What can we do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. It's just going to unfold, and it's going to happen because it's prophecy. Believe in prophecy if you want or not. I don't care. In my mind, in the way I read my Bible, is that it's all prophetic what's happening. It takes a long time for prophecy to unfold at times, and maybe that's what we're seeing. But my advice to you, just stay prepared. Keep a cool head. God did not give us a spirit of fear, so don't run around trying to fist fight grandma for the last package of Huggies. You know, we need to keep our heads right now. I think what you need to pay attention to is economics. The dollar, the gas prices are going to soon go up because EU's already talking about starting a boycott on Russian oil now. So that's going to drive everything back up for a little bit. We can only do quantitative easing on the dollar so long until the dollar has no value. We can only release oil reserves into the market for so long until, you know, we drastically start to impact our own national security. So one of these days, one of these release valves is going to go empty, and then the pressure is going to build back up again. So you as the American, man, the only thing you can do is just prepare based off of yourself. You can continue to grow in your preps, getting stronger, getting smarter, you know, practicing on your survival techniques, going out to the range and shooting. You know, and people argue with me about all different types of weird stuff, but that's what I would say for you to prepare on is just your own personal level of preparedness. Try to grow your group if you can right now. Bring this knowledge to other people. Have the discussions about stuff like this in church. When you have your round table in church and you break up into prayer groups, if that's even a thing anymore, talk about this in church. Hey, if this happens, are you prepared for this? If this happens, how has the church prepared for this for all the people who go here? Challenge your pastors. Your pastors typically are busy doing a 10,000 other things or not doing their jobs at all. So challenge your pastors. Challenge the elders of the church. Challenge the deacons of the church. If you need to, start your own thing. You know, approach church saying, hey, I have figured out a level of preparedness. I think it fits good for our people here at the church. Let's discuss this on an open format. The worst thing you could be doing right now is sitting down on your couch and doing nothing. There's plenty of stuff you can be doing. Get up off of your excuse and get to work. Tomorrow we have Bob Griswold. We're going to talk about the updates from Ukraine and some other things around the world. And then Wednesday, we are going to be talking about UFOs. So stick around, stay tuned. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.